You're listening to the Product Podcast from Product School, featuring the best product leaders from Silicon Valley and beyond. If you're an aspiring product manager looking for your first PM role, or an experienced PM looking to level up your skills and advance your career, visit productschool.com to learn about our certifications and how we'll get you there. This episode is brought to you by Amplitude, the pioneer in digital optimization software that helps product leaders answer the question, how do our digital products drive our business? 1,400 plus customers, including Atlassian, Instacart, and Under Armour, rely on Amplitude's product analytics. Get started at amplitude.com. Today, we're talking product-led growth with Atlassian VP of Product, Uday Chakravarthy. You may have heard of this term before, but it's so much more than just a buzzword. Keep listening to hear the keys to PLG and what it takes to craft a successful strategy with it.
Good morning, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening for all the folks who are watching from different parts of the world. It's great to be here back, looking at the energy of folks, especially in the product community. I still remember a few years ago when Carlos had reached out to me asking if I'd be interested in teaching the first cohort of product managers in Seattle. And I took that exciting opportunity, and it's great to see how much the products school and community has grown over the years. So really fascinating to see. So I'll start off with my journey and how I got into product. And I'll also share some of my experiences from Atlassian, as well as some of the tips for today's product leaders on how they can leverage some of these things to really grow their career. All right, a quick introduction about myself. I'm a VP of product here at Atlassian, where I lead our product-led growth org, monetization, and customer acquisition teams. I have been in the tech industry for over 15 years now, and that includes launching consumer products from zero to one at PayPal, to leading growth at Microsoft Azure, as well as building marketplace products at Zillow. Today I'm going to talk about something that I'm really passionate about, which is product-led growth. I witnessed firsthand the power of product-led growth when I was leading a launch of Azure's free tier, which is a freemium model. And we essentially took a core PLG concept and transformed that into a powerful growth engine at Azure, and it became and that really helped it become the fastest growing business in the history of Microsoft. Today, the three things that I would love for you all to take away from this talk is really understand what product-led growth is. I'll share some of my own experiences at Atlassian on how we do it. And Atlassian is also one of the pioneers of product-led growth, along with companies like Slack. And lastly, some tips and a toolkit that you could use to scale your products as well as your company. So here's the agenda for today. You might be wondering, what does a car has to do with product-led growth? I always like to start with analogies to explain concepts that are not very straightforward. When you go shopping for a car, the first thing you do is you test drive it. You want to see how it feels, how it drives, what's the experience like, and then you make a purchase decision. Product-led growth is very similar. It's show rather than tell concept, where companies try to show their customers the value they will get before they actually make the purchase decisions. And in that way, a customer can decide whether that's the right product or not. Now let's dig a little bit deeper into what is the definition of product-led growth. It's an end-user-focused growth model that relies on product itself as a primary driver of customer acquisition, activation, and retention. And some of the things that I've highlighted here are really key to product-led growth. One of them is it's an end-user-focused. Traditionally, you know, the decisions, the buying decisions would come from top down. You know, maybe it would be the CTO of a company who would make a decision about buying a software. But that model has changed. You know, your end users are now empowered to make some of those decisions. And that's why it's really important to solve their needs and create products that give them value. The second part of the definition is the growth model. You know, that's where the go-to-market motion comes into play, which is very different from, you know, how your traditional sales-led customer acquisition models were. This is more about product, and, you know, product itself drives growth. And acquisition, activation, retention. And what that means is product is driving all the way from discovery to activation to retention. The features are the ones that really help users make these decisions. Now let's look at the evolution of, you know, sales-led to product-led growth. You know, in previous days, it used to be sales-led customer acquisitions. You know, your sales teams will go pitch, you know, your products. They give a quote, and then, you know, they close the pipeline, and that's when the revenue is booked. And, you know, companies like Oracle and SAP, they started with that. Then it transformed to more of a hybrid approach where, you know, sales and product, they partnered more closely on a hybrid approach. And it was more of a product-assisted approach driven by customer expectations. And now, you know, it has changed to a product-led world where product itself is the growth engine. And features are essentially the primary drivers of this growth. And some companies such as Atlassian, Zoom, Slack, they have pioneered product-led growth in their space. And when you go to their websites, you can see a lot of common principles, you know, whether it is the freemium self-service way to sign up or, you know, how you get value quickly. Now, before I go into how Atlassian does product-led growth, I'm sure a lot of you may already be familiar with our products and use it on a weekly or a daily basis as well. You know, for example, the Jira, Confluence, Trello, OpsGenie, Bitbucket. These are some of our products. For those who are not familiar with Atlassian, you know, a quick background. You know, Atlassian started in 2002. We are a global company headquartered in Sydney with 7,300 plus employees. We are also a permanent remote company with over 20 products, and we serve about 80% of the Fortune 500 customers, and our products are used in over 190 countries, and we also do revenue north of $2 billion. So that's a quick background about Atlassian. Now let me walk you through what a typical customer journey is for our customers from a product-led growth lens. And I may be using PLG here and there, so it's essentially just an acronym. So if you look at the journey, it all starts with a potential customer going to Atlassian.com and browsing our products to learn more about it. Now, once they identify different types of product, they want to deepen their knowledge to see whether this product solves their problem. And that's where the research comes into play. Through our videos, webinar. Once they understand how the products work and if it can solve the problem, then they try using our products for free. There are no credit cards to sign up, so you can everything is self-serve. You don't have to talk to any customer service rep. Once you start trying our product, the customers fall in love. And this is the most important thing from a customer journey standpoint. Like, customers have to get value quickly. And once they do, they fall in love. Then, you know, it becomes much easier for them to make these purchase upgrade decisions. And once they do that, then we have other complementary products that can solve even more use cases. And that's when customers expand into more products, invite their team members, be more productive, and then, you know, if they continue to see the value, then they renew their subscription and retain and stay longer for us to continue to be more productive. So that's a typical Atlassian customer journey. Now, why do companies need PLG? There are a lot of advantages that companies get by using PLG. I want to talk about three things that are most important. First is lower customer acquisition cost. You know, because companies are now spending less on sales and marketing, their cost to acquire customers goes down significantly. And, you know, the product itself is good enough that it infiltrates the market, so you don't have to spend a lot of money on sales and marketing. The second benefit is better customer experience. Users find value, as they start using products. The onboarding is very straightforward, and customers quickly see the value of the product before paying. So it's a better customer experience. And third is, you know, companies scale much faster because, you know, now they're not constrained by labor-intensive sales or marketing employees. You don't have to hire these people to actually scale, you know. So and because of that, the companies can scale much faster. So those are some examples and benefits of PLG. The next topic I want to talk about is how Atlassian does product-led growth, and this is where I'm going to be spending most of my time in. There are a few PLG principles that are really important for any company to successfully adopt it. And you know, the way I've taken these examples is I've mapped to some of these examples to these most important PLG principles to explain how we do it here. The first one is designing for the end user. This is really important. You know, for any company, customers are our livelihood. Without happy customers, a company is doomed. So considering that perspective, it's really important to understand the needs of these customers. And, you know, that philosophy has really helped Atlassian design products for end users. I want to give you a couple of examples of how we do that. Here on the screenshot you can see is our Voice of Our Customer program. This is a program that we created at Atlassian where any research team or customer success folks can add feedback from customers directly into this tool. And what this tool does, it then triages the feedback to different teams. So, for example, feature requests are triaged directly to product teams. If there are some churn insights about customers, you know, or any other feedback, you know, those are funneled into different monthly meetings. And then we also have customer teams wins that are part of the tool itself. So product teams have all this available to them. To really understand, you know, the voice of the customer. And that really helps them in coming up with features and products to really provide value to our customers. Here is an example of a Jira ticket that got triaged through this program to one of our PMs. So as you can see, this was a customer request asking for a dark mode. And the way this typically works is, you know, as PMs automatically get these feature request triage, they also look at how many customers are asking for it, what does it really solve a customer need, and that really helps them prioritize these requests in their backlog. So this is an example of how feedback directly from our customers is triaged to different product and other teams at Atlassian. The second PLG principle I want to talk about is deliver value fast. When customers start using your products, most of them, you know, typically sign up with the freemium version. It's really important for any successful PLG company to deliver that value to the customers within a few seconds or few clicks. Let me ask you a question. Some of you may have used our product, Trello. How many clicks do you think it takes a user to get value after they sign up for Trello? Any guesses?
This episode is brought to you by Amplitude, the pioneer in digital optimization software that helps product leaders innovate faster and smarter by answering the strategic question, how do our digital products drive our business? 1,400 plus customers like Atlassian, Instacart, and Under Armour rely on Amplitude's best-in-class product analytics solution to unlock insights, build winning products faster, and turn products into revenue. Get started at amplitude.com.
Okay, I heard 5 and 9. So let's look at it. The answer is 2. And you know what? The way this works is when you sign up for Trello, the first screenshot that you see is the one where we land our customers in, and we and from there you have most popular templates that are used, and that's also based on some recommendation models. And once you click on one of those templates, for example, project management, you land on the second screen, which has boards and different swim lanes that you can already use, and you can start collaborating with your teammates on. So within 2 clicks, you can use a board and get value from our product, and you don't have to pay for this. It's a part of their freemium plan. So that's an example of how we quickly deliver value. Another great example is if you've used Canva templates. If you go to Google search and type any specific template, and then you'll within a couple of clicks you'll land on their website with a template selected, and you can start editing it. So that's another example of how quickly customers can get value from products. The third PLG principle that's really important is transparent pricing. Pricing should be very clear and straightforward to reduce friction in the buying experience. You don't want customers to think about whether they are getting the right price or not, and so that they build trust, and then they can start using your products to get value. Now let's look at the example of how Atlassian does this. This is our pricing page. As you can see, we have different plans: free, standard, premium, enterprise. Each plan has a specific dollar amount associated with it, and then you can also change the number of users. The price automatically changes based on the number of users you select, per user per month pricing. You could also see monthly, and you can also see annual pricing. One of the advantages of this compared to the previous version was previously our sales teams would give quotes to customers, and while it benefited businesses, it really didn't benefit customers because not all customers were getting the same price. So in some ways, your customers were the ones who were getting screwed. With this transparent pricing, that has shifted now. All customers get the same price, and the best price we can offer them. The fourth PLG principle that I want to talk about is freemium model. And there are different flavors of freemium. There are some free trials which are limited by number of days, and they have, there are different goals for that. It's more focused on growing revenue quickly, whereas some of the other freemium models that you see are not time bound, which means customers can use your products for free on an ongoing basis, and then if there are certain premium features for which they have to pay to upgrade. Zoom is a great example. The 45-minute calls, you can use those calls on an ongoing basis without having to pay. Atlassian also has adopted a freemium model where our customers can use our products without having to pay unless there are certain premium features or if you want to collaborate with more team members. And the goal of this is to really acquire customers quickly by opening up the top of the funnel and really gain market share quickly. And this is really helpful if companies are looking to scale quickly. Now let's look at the freemium launch that we did and how it went. When we launched our freemium, our hypothesis was we can acquire a lot of customers quickly by opening up the funnel to more and more users and reduce friction for our customers because they don't really have to pay and they can start using our products. And the thinking was that, if we can actually retain these customers, if they fall in love with our products, we will have more monthly active users using our products. And over time, these monthly active users will see more and more value and convert to purchases. And despite taking a short-term hit on cost, because when you are giving free products, these instances actually have a cost associated with this. So this was a long-term strategy for us to see, if this would work. The chart that you see on the right side is the graph from the launch, and on the x-axis you could see number of days, and on the y-axis the monthly active users. The black line that you see, that is a freemium launch. So these are cohorts of customers who are not part of the experiment, and the three lines that you see above the black line are the customers who were included in the freemium experiment. So they actually saw the freemium trial version, and then they signed up for that. And the three different colors are just different cohorts based on when they actually started using it, and because we also wanted to see if there was any seasonality impact to it. And what we saw was, we saw a significant increase in our monthly active users after we launched, and that trend continued. It didn't go down. And one of the key reasons why it didn't go down was we didn't stop after we just launched it. We kept optimizing the experience further because we knew we would be getting a lot of these lower quality users into the funnel. So we kept improving the experience to help them understand the value of our products, additions, and help them upgrade. So that's really important when you launch a free plan, is you're going to get a lot of these customers. At the same time, you also have to keep improving the experience for them. You know, as you think about the quality of these customers when you launch programs like freemium, there are a few dimensions that are really important. There is another terminology which is PLQ. Just like you have marketing qualified leads, you have product qualified leads. And the difference in product qualified leads is it's just not a lead, but these are customers who are more likely to convert and use your products. So there are some guardrail metrics that are really important to keep in mind. And I've listed four of the most important metrics when you look at product qualified leads. The first one is any customer that signs up for your freemium version, you want to track if they are taking core actions. So for example, for one of our product Confluence, some of the core actions we look at is number of documents created or edited, comments added, etc. Because that really tells us if our customers are interacting with our product and getting value. The second dimension is solving for a use case. While core actions, these are leading indicators, you also want to see whether we are actually solving problems for our customers, and that's where use cases come to mind. So what kind of metrics can you track to know that our customers are solving their problem? Maybe they created a document, collaborated with their teammates, and published it. That's a lot more valuable than just adding a comment. Or they connected their Confluence with Slack, and now they are able to actually edit or change permissions through Slack without having to go to Confluence. The third dimension is expansion or invites. If a customer user really likes using your product, they're more likely to invite their team members to use it and to be more productive. So we look at metrics like average team size. Lastly, retention. It's great that we have these customers using some of the core actions, solving their problems, but we also want to retain these customers. So we look at certain metrics around day 7, day 4, day 28, monthly active users as well. And, if you have all of these, the likelihood of this user converting into a long-term customer goes up significantly. So it's really important for any product-led growth company to keep in mind and track these other dimensions of signups as well, very closely. Now I want to share some of the key takeaways from my experience here at Atlassian. The first one is reducing friction in the signup process to try your product, and I can't stress the importance of this enough. But really, the most important thing is to create an experience, a self-serve experience where your customers can discover your product, sign up, and use it. Any customer interaction with sales or chat, treat it as a bug. Really look at what kind of questions your customers are asking. You know, share that with your product managers, and then use that to improve this onboarding experience further. And also track how much time are your customers spending at each step of the funnel. You know, is it are your customers taking 2 days to sign up? Is it like 2 hours? So really having that deep understanding of your sign up funnel is really important. And you know, you can look at the entire customer life cycle through that, even extending beyond to emails. The second key takeaway is investing in R&D. You know, you might ask, how are we able to keep the flywheel going? One key element, you know, from Atlassian model that makes us unique is we spend more on our R&D as a percentage of revenue and less on sales and marketing than any of our peers largely in the software enterprise space. And the reason is really simple, you know. We want to build best products at lower cost and thus progress the flywheel. If you look at the chart here on the right side, you can see that the bottom graph, Atlassian, it's about 35% of revenue going into R&D. And whereas companies like Zoom, Slack have a lower percentage compared to that. And that is what really drives our acquisition, conversion, expansion. You know, this a lot of this goes into investing in products, growth teams to really build out the and continue to optimize the funnels further. We have growth teams at each stage of the customer journey. You know, all the way from acquisition, we have teams that look at activation. We have teams that look at retention. We have teams that look at upgrades, purchases. So you're optimizing as well as coming up with these step-changing bets throughout the customer journey to make sure that we can grow the product seamlessly. So those are some of my key takeaways from my experience at Atlassian. I want to share one more thing here. Which ties well with this slide. You know, you might ask, sales and marketing. You're not spending that much. Like, are they not really that important? So the third key takeaway here is that sales and marketing and customer success. All these teams play a very critical role in a successful product-led mindset. Even though the number of teams are smaller. But the impact is pretty significant. For any successful PLG, all these teams have to come together and let product drive growth. And how do our teams do that? So marketing creates content-led experiences for demand generation. You know, we have webinars, we have blogs, we have videos. All these resources, start with product at the center of it and how some of the features benefit our customers. The second is sales. You know, our sales teams, they use product usage signals to generate leads and assistance. One example that I want to share is they look at, what kind of interactions the customers are having with our products. Maybe our customers are using a lot of like manual features and we have automated features in a, let's say, a different edition, like a premium edition. We have automated roadmaps. And if our customers are not using it, that data is very useful for our sales teams to then, send communication or notifications or emails to customers to show value of some of these automated features. And that can help our customers get more value because it helps them more productive. And then the teams can also use some of that to upsell our customers. The third team is customer success. If you look at the funnel, the first comes the marketing, then we have the sales teams, and then as customers start using our products, then our customer success teams comes into play, and they also use these signals to ensure that customer is gaining value over time and using more and more features that benefit them. And some of the ways they do this is through these customer usage patterns, they can identify, if this customer is doing using features that our power users use. And if so, how can we get them more value? Or if they're not using it, maybe they have a higher likelihood of churn. So how can we help them become our long-term customers and not churn? So so that way, all these teams have to come together and communicate effectively and then drive growth. Even in experimentation that we do a lot, we're talking to all these teams and then we are coming up with ideas on how we can improve the products further. So those are some key takeaways from my experience at Atlassian. I hope some of these models and examples you can take back to your products and companies and experiment and really scale growth for your products and company. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Product Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to us if you would rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Taking the time to write just a few sentences about what you love most about the show will help us improve it and reach even more product people around the world. And when you're done, why not reward yourself with some free product management content and resources over at productschool.com? Until next time, stay product-led.